Have you ever looked at the stars in the sky and tried to count them? It's impossible to number them, like trying to count the sand on a seashore. When looking at a clear night sky, one word comes to mind: glorious. We'll come back to that. Can you imagine how powerful someone would have to be to create all those stars? And not just that, we're told that we can see only a tiny fraction of the universe. For some time, the Hubble telescope was the gold standard. The Hubble telescope allowed astronomers to see things billions of light years away, revealing a tapestry of galaxies stretching across unimaginable distances, each containing billions of stars. Now, more recently, we have the James Webb Space Telescope, which has incredible infrared vision that can see far further and deeper still. This Webb telescope has embarked on a journey to explore regions of the universe even more distant and mysterious, revealing new wonders that were previously hidden in the vast cosmic landscape. Yet even with such amazing technology, the vast majority of the universe remains unseeable. Astronomers widely believe that what we can see with our highest powered telescopes is only a very small percentage of the universe. Imagine the observable universe is a single grain of sand on a beach. What we can see is like that single grain, with the vast majority still unseen. And God created it all. Further, Hebrews 1 verse 3 teaches that Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. How many things? All things. To do that, one would have to be all-powerful. Is God all-powerful? The Bible teaches that he is. Jeremiah 32:17 states, "Nothing is too hard for the great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, great in counsel and mighty in deed, who showed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and to this day in Israel and among all mankind." And Jesus himself taught, with God, all things are possible. Further, Revelation just directly calls God omnipotent, a combination of the words omni, meaning all, and potent, meaning powerful. Specifically, Revelation 19 verse 6 declares, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." But omnipotence does not mean the power to do just anything. There are some things even God cannot do. Among these, God cannot deny himself. Further, the Bible teaches, God cannot be tempted by evil. And God cannot lie. These are things God cannot do, not because God lacks any power, but because he is good by nature. As essentially good, God cannot do anything that would contradict his own essential nature. Again, this is not because God lacks any power, but because he cannot deny his own essential nature. That would be impossible. As C.S. Lewis puts it, God's omnipotence means power to do all that is intrinsically possible, not to do the intrinsically impossible. You may attribute miracles to him, but not nonsense. This is no limit to his power. If you choose to say God can give a creature free will and at the same time withhold free will from it, you have not succeeded in saying anything about God. Meaningless combinations of words do not suddenly acquire meaning simply because we prefix to them the two other words, God can. It is no more possible for God than for the weakest of his creatures to carry out both of two mutually exclusive alternatives. Not because his power meets an obstacle, but because nonsense remains nonsense even when we talk it about God. Did you catch that part about free will? If God gives creatures free will, he cannot at the same time withhold free will from them. This does not undermine God's omnipotence at all. God would still possess the sheer power to overrule anyone else's decisions. But even he cannot grant free will and take it away at the same time, because that would be nonsense. According to Scripture, God does grant such free will. How do we know? Many texts present a choice for God's people. For example, Joshua 24:15 states, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Not only that, Many texts teach that humans often make decisions that are contrary to what God actually wants them to do. For example, in Isaiah 66, verse 4, God himself laments, "When I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." Likewise, in Ezekiel 3, verse 7, God laments that his people will not listen to me. These texts would make no sense if God was controlling the people's wills. Further, in Psalm 81, verses 11 through 13, God laments, "My people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." God deeply wants his people to listen, but they stubbornly refuse. These are only a few of the many texts that teach that humans often make decisions that are contrary to what God actually wants them to do. But again, this is only possible if God is not using his power to control the decisions and actions of creatures. Put differently, this is only possible if God grants creatures free will even when they choose otherwise than he wants. This is one reason there is so much evil in the world. God does not want it to be that way. I explain this in much more detail in my book, Theodicy of Love, Cosmic Conflict and the Problem of Evil. Now, God is all powerful, but he does not exercise all of his power. He grants power to others. Why? Because free will is necessary for love, and God is love. This shows that God's power always and only operates in accordance with his love, in a way that fosters love. Christ possessed the power to turn stones into bread, but he did not exercise it when Satan tempted him. Christ could have used his power to come down from the cross, but again, he did not use his power to do so. Why? Love held him there. Some people in our world today worship power and grasp for power, but in Scripture, it is the power of love that is paramount. When Moses met God on Mount Sinai, Moses asked God, "Please show me your glory." And what did God show Moses? "I will make all my goodness pass before you," he said, "and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." Moses asked to see what? God's glory. And God showed him what? His goodness. The Bible's theology of glory is bound up with the theology of God's goodness. God is not just all-powerful, but he always exercises his power according to the principles of love, which is his nature and his character. So we can be confident that whatever mess we find ourselves in, whatever struggles you face, whatever hardships, God is powerful enough to rescue us and bring an end to them. And he will completely do so when Christ returns. In the meantime, Christ himself taught, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world."